On the record. On News Talk.
With Pinergy. Supplying energy with insight to forward-thinking Irish businesses.
But I want to go straight to my first guest this morning. He is the Westminster leader of the Democratic Unionist Party, Sir Geoffrey Donaldson, MP. Geoffrey, good morning.
Good morning, Gavin.
And thank you very much for taking our call this morning. I'm always very grateful to someone in public life who gives up some time on a Sunday morning. You and your party have been very clear in the last few days that you don't believe the Northern Ireland Protocol is fit for purpose. Now, that protocol, as many listeners will know, was designed to try and avoid a hard border on the island of Ireland. What's wrong with it?
Well, Gavin, there are lots of things that are wrong with it, but if I could summarise it as follows. The Northern Ireland Protocol is a blunt instrument to deal with trade and protect the EU single market, which, of course, is the main objective of the protocol. It is to prevent goods coming from Great Britain into Northern Ireland and passing into the EU single market that don't meet the standards of that EU market. And what is happening at the moment is that, for example, people living in my constituency who want to order seeds to plant in their garden this spring, who want to order spare parts for a tractor on their farm, who want to order component parts that is are essential for their manufacturing process within Northern Ireland, are finding it almost impossible to access these goods and products from their traditional suppliers in Great Britain because of the requirement for, in some cases, checks and declarations. In other cases, the protocol, as with the seed products, completely prohibits the sale of those products between Great Britain and Northern Ireland.
And just to stress that point, and sorry to interrupt you, but that this isn't a case of people in Northern Ireland who are having difficulty with importing things from the European Union. This is people in Northern Ireland who are struggling to get stuff that they usually get from Britain itself.
That is correct. And of course, Britain is by far our biggest market. Before the 1st of January, 70% of the goods that flowed out of and into Northern Ireland came to and from Great Britain. And now we can see that 40% of the trucks returning to Northern Ireland are empty. So normally what would happen is a truck leaves Northern Ireland with a load, it goes to Britain, it collects another load and brings that back to Northern Ireland. So there has been a very significant impact by this protocol in terms of trade within the United Kingdom between Great Britain and Northern Ireland. Now, my point is this. If the objective of the protocol is to protect the EU single market and to avoid the need for checks on the Irish border, it is taking a scattergun approach, because it is actually the majority of the difficulty with the protocol is that it impacts on consumers and businesses in Northern Ireland who are not trading with the EU. I mean, my constituent wanting to plant her seeds in her garden, you know, there's no threat to the EU single market from that. A farmer who wants to get a spare part for his tractor doesn't present a threat to the EU single market. So we need to develop a system that differentiates between those goods that are coming into Northern Ireland for internal or private consumption and those goods that are in transit via Northern Ireland into the Republic of Ireland and the EU single market. And
okay,
we believe we can do that. Mm. We believe the technology is there to do that. We believe there are systems that can achieve that, that don't require either a hard border on the island of Ireland or unnecessary checks and declarations for people and businesses purchasing goods that are for their own use and staying within Northern Ireland and the UK single market,
okay,
or UK internal market.
I'll come back to your proposed solutions or ways to get around that in just a moment. But whenever you put these concerns to the Irish government, and we've had them put to them publicly in the last couple of days, what they say is that nobody wanted there to be any impeded trade between Great Britain and Northern Ireland or between constituent parts of the UK, but that this is a natural consequence of deciding to leave the single market and the customs union, that if you're going to have some customs thresholds that have to apply somewhere for some things, that the most natural place to put them, if you don't want to have them on land, would to be at seaports between Great Britain and Northern Ireland. And this is simply the consequence of that.
Well, it's not the most natural place to put them. The most natural place in the world to put checks is on the border between two sovereign states. I mean, you go around the world and you look at where customs arrangements apply, I'm sorry, but it's a nonsense to suggest that the natural place to put them is not on the border between two sovereign states. And that is the case everywhere across the world where there are customs checks. They occur on the border.
Now, but are you saying that, but I think we all recognize that nobody wants that to happen in this instance.
Well then, but please don't use the term the natural place, because it's not the natural place. We are in exceptional, extraordinary circumstances here, so we need exceptional solutions. We recognize that. But again, I repeat, and I do not accept, and I wish someone from the Irish government would explain to me why my constituent, who wants to plant daffodils in her front garden in Northern Ireland, presents a threat to the EU single market, why she can't purchase those daffodil bulbs or the seeds she wants for her garden for her own personal use without the need, without those things actually being prohibited in terms of acquiring those kind of goods from a supplier in Great Britain to for personal use in Northern Ireland. I'm sorry, but I don't buy the argument from the Irish government that you cannot differentiate between goods that are for consumption in Northern Ireland and goods that are for onward transit into the EU.
Okay, so if you're saying that obviously that person, someone trying to buy daffodil seeds from Britain, isn't going to undermine the single market, do you at least accept in principle, and just helpful to establish maybe the ground rules for what we're talking about, do you accept in principle that if somebody was mass importing seeds on an industrial scale with the attempt to sell them onwards into the EU single market, that there would have to be checks somewhere, and in this case at the seaports?
Well, that's my point, that, you know, if the issue is that either goods are in transit to the EU single market or are being acquired for sale into the EU single market, then, of course, you've got to meet the rules that apply in the EU market. Otherwise, you won't be able to sell your goods there. That is the reality.
But then where do you check them, though, Geoffrey? I think that's the problem that we come up against. Because if you have two different shipments coming through, say, Larne Port, for example, and one is an industrial shipment, which it might be intended to be distributed on and sold into the single market, and another one is a very small personal shipment, you'll still have to have someone checking somewhere to make sure that they are what they intend to be or what they claim to be.
Well, you do it at the point of origin. I mean, it is actually quite simple. You know, nowadays I can go online and order a parcel, some goods, and they are delivered to my home. I can track every stage of that of that shipment. I can track it when it leaves the warehouse. I can track it, and I've got the name of the parcel delivery service. I can track it when it arrives in Belfast, and then I can track it right to the time, the actual time of the day that it's delivered to my home. And very often it's accompanied by a photograph showing that it's been delivered to my home. So the idea that we cannot differentiate between goods that are for personal consumption and goods that are for onward sale into the EU single market, I'm afraid in the 21st century, it simply doesn't stack up at all. And the idea that you have to check all goods being shipped between Northern Ireland and Great Britain, and in some cases actually prohibit. We're not just talking about checks here. We're talking about certain goods that are actually prohibited. You can no longer, if you live in Northern Ireland, acquire those goods from a supplier in Great Britain. And I just think that is entirely unnecessary. It is a sledgehammer to crack a nut. When you consider the amount of trade that flows across the Irish border in the context of all of the trade within the European Union is minuscule, that we cannot find a solution that doesn't require all goods to be checked, declarations to be made, I just don't think it is realistic and is certainly not acceptable to people in Northern Ireland who suddenly find that they goods that they could order freely before the 1st of January, they can no longer order from their suppliers in Great Britain.
You said that you believe that there are probably some other technological or very intelligent solutions that could be used in this day and age. And I suppose a lot of us would probably have hoped that there would be other solutions that could be used in this day and age. But this brings us back to the meat of what we spent a lot of the last 4 years talking about, which was what kind of electronic surveillance or seamless ways that you could conduct, you know, trade between two customs areas or two different markets without there being a need for some checks somewhere along the way. And after 4 years, nobody came up with one that was acceptable to all sides. So what are the solutions that apparently suddenly exist now in February 2021 that didn't exist 12 months ago?
Well, they did exist, Gavin, but I'm afraid politics took over from a pragmatic approach to this. There was a commission on alternative arrangements in the UK. Proposals were put forward. Prime Minister Johnson at the time accepted many of the proposals, but in his negotiations with the EU, he opted for the Northern Ireland Protocol. We warned at the time that this would create enormous problems, that there were other ways of dealing with this. Look, we recognise that where goods are in transit for sale in the EU, then of course you have to find a way of checking those goods. But I don't think you're really hearing what I'm saying, which is it is entirely possible to differentiate between those goods that are for personal consumption, personal use, or for use by a business in Northern Ireland that is not going outside of the UK, that is reasonable and possible to differentiate between those and goods that are in transit to the EU. Well, and the systems exist to do that. We know that they exist to do that, and it is possible to do that. It is, and it is not that those systems have suddenly become available. It was simply that, I'm afraid, politics overcame the need for a pragmatic solution.
Well, on the point
and it's damaging our economy in Northern Ireland as a result.
On the point of trying to discern between what's for personal use and what's for business use, somebody texts into 53106 and they're saying that how do you tell the difference between someone who has a very large garden and who wants to import a lot of daffodil seeds for their own use in their own garden versus someone who wants to import the same number of seeds because they're a wholesaler and they want to sell them on to the Republic? Those are two identical shipments and you can't tell the difference between them at the port.
Well, first of all, you don't grow daffodils from a seed, you grow them from a bulb. And secondly, I think...
I will scold our listener for their lack of horticultural knowledge.
Well, no, that's okay. I'm simply making the point there is a difference. We're not talking about, massive packets of seeds. You know, we're talking about something that is very easy to monitor. If someone's going to import into Northern Ireland or bring into Northern Ireland 1 million daffodil bulbs, does anyone really believe that's for planting in their own garden? Of course not. Look, I think we need to be pragmatic and reasonable in all of this. And at the moment, there is none of that. If my constituent wants to order a single box of daffodil bulbs from her supplier in Great Britain, she can't do it at the moment. It's not permitted. So I'm simply saying to you, how is it reasonable to suggest that my constituent importing a single box of daffodil bulbs is going to sell those into the EU single market? What's she going to do? Go to the market in Clonus and sell a box of daffodil bulbs? Come on. That's why we need a reasonable, pragmatic approach to be taken here. This scattergun approach, this sledgehammer to crack a nut, where everything the subject of checks and declarations. It is unreasonable. Okay. It is harming the Northern Ireland economy. It is creating economic instability here. We were told that the objective was to protect the Good Friday Belfast Agreement. The objective was to protect the EU single market. It was to avoid a hard border in the island of Ireland. And I simply pose the question to your listeners. How does my constituent ordering a box of daffodil bulbs from a supplier in Great Britain potentially harm the Good Friday Agreement? Are we seriously suggesting that daffodil bulb-wielding pensioners from Lisburn pose a threat to the peace process in Northern Ireland?
Can I ask you briefly about one other question just before I let you go, which is the approach to COVID-19 across the island? It's the first time in a while where the two jurisdictions have been somewhat in sync, where we're both adopting a lockdown. But there has been a lot of question marks and certainly demands from this side of the border for there to be an all-island or a two-island approach to international travel. The explanation that we're constantly given is that your party colleagues in Stormont are consistently wielding a veto and stopping there being any kind of all-island approach. When the Scottish government has taken some restrictions on travel inwards from England and when the Welsh government has done likewise, why is it considered improbable or inappropriate for Northern Ireland to consider some restrictions on travel from Britain?
Well, we already do. So I think you need to check your facts. Under the restrictions in Northern Ireland, all but essential travel is currently prohibited between Great Britain and Northern Ireland. You have to be able to prove that if you're undertaking a journey between Great Britain and Northern Ireland, if you're entering Northern Ireland from England, Scotland or Wales, under our current regulations, you must be able to prove that it is an essential journey. Secondly, if and when you arrive in Northern Ireland on an essential journey from Scotland, England or Wales, you must self-isolate for a 10-day period. So I'm afraid your information is entirely incorrect. And it is also incorrect to say that we have wielded a veto on this. That has not occurred at any time in terms of the question of travel between Great Britain and Northern Ireland.
So, because when we hear from nationalists in Stormont, they tell us that the unionists are the ones who are standing in the way of essentially treating the island as a single block for travel purposes. You say that's not true.
Well, it isn't true. And secondly, we have a common travel area between Great Britain, Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland. And I think it is sensible to look at ways in which we can enhance cooperation within that common travel area. With respect, it's not just about Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland. It's about the United Kingdom as a whole and the Republic of Ireland, because we know at the moment there are difficulties, for example, in data sharing, which normally happens under the common travel area. Mm. But the Northern Ireland Executive now has been waiting for over 10 months for the Irish government to agree to share data on people who have entered the Republic of Ireland through ports or airports and are travelling on into Northern Ireland. So with the greatest of respect, the difficulty here, as you suggest, is not unionists in the Northern Ireland Executive. I suggest you ask the relevant Irish government minister why over 10 months later, on foot of a request from the Northern Ireland Executive for the sharing of data, we are still waiting for the Irish government to approve that request.
Yeah, it is a very good question, because the Brexit deal did also allow for a 6-month period of data sharing as well. So some of the regulatory impediments aren't there. Very, very final question for you then, Geoffrey, just as a follow on from your last point. Would you be in favour of a common approach from all five of the jurisdictions on these islands around international travel, common red lists and common requirements for a hotel quarantine and the likes?
I think there is value in exploring that, yes. I think, as I've said, it needs to be done on a United Kingdom and common travel area basis. I think there is a lot of scope for cooperation on the whole question of the common travel area, and certainly in terms of international visitors coming in to the common travel area, there is scope for greater cooperation.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Geoffrey Donaldson, thank you very much for your time this morning. That's Sir Geoffrey Donaldson, MP for Lagan Valley and the DUP's leader in the House of Commons. Very much appreciate your time this morning.